very thought of you. Get that mood indigo.
We got a little mood indigo going here tonight on the final Jaguars this week after a 15-year run. It all comes to an end here at Jaguars Central in about 52 minutes. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and the man who replaced those dulcet tones, Tony Boselli. But you know what? This evening wouldn't be complete if we didn't bring back one of the longest running members of the cast of this show, the former senior editor of Jaguars Inside Report. There's bringing back some
memories. Going back.
And Jaguars.com, now working in the warm confines of Lambeau Field. Everybody, please welcome Vic Ketchman. Hello, Vic.
Hi, Brian. You didn't ask me how I am, but if you did, I would have told you I'm sad. I really am. I just didn't think this show would end. I honestly didn't. It had become such a fixture, and it had been such a great show for so long, with so many really good contributors to it. The show shifted gears hard when Jeff joined it. We've had Matt Robinson and Dave Wydell along the line. Tony Boselli clearly made it an upgrade, and I mean that. And Brian, you have always, I really mean that, and Brian, you have always been the rock to the show, the guy that, you know, that put the ball on the tee for everybody else, and I just think it's a great show, and I have this one question to ask. I'm not going to pursue this, but does anybody know where this show stands in terms of longest-running radio shows in Jacksonville? That was the first thought. That was the first thought that came to my mind when Dan Edwards told me that the show was going bye-bye.
That's a good question.
Well, you know, there have been different radio personalities in town that have taken their shows from different stations. But, and we don't know for sure, but, you know, I've been in town almost 20 years now, and I would tell you from a locally produced show, this is probably it. You know, there have been different sports in particular guys who bounced between the stations, and you know.
Yeah, but
they
if that's
are.
The case, Brian, then we could argue that we're doing that right now. We're taking it from Wednesday night to Monday night, different personalities.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what
in
I'm
terms
saying.
Of one show
but
at the
one
same
show,
time.
Same concept, yeah. You know, same station. I don't think there's been any longer.
No, I can't. So, you know, I thought it would go on a long time. Vic, you remember when we started this, and I was telling
you. Well, how many years, Vic, did you do it for?
Well, he started.
Well, I did it from the very beginning until the time I left. So that would have been 97 to 13 years, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah, we started it, if you remember, right before the draft in 1998.
Right. And oh, it was 98.
It was 98. Yeah, it was 98. And then, so, and yet, you've been gone for what? A little less than 2 years?
Since 10.
Oh,
yeah,
so been,
I did it for 12 years.
Okay, for 12 years. So, I was telling these guys, the whole design of the show, if you remember right, because when we first decided we were going to do it, we said, oh, we're going to get this person and that person. We've got access. And then we came up with a brilliant idea. It was Seinfeldian. And that was, we weren't going to really prep, but we were just going to go in and wing it.
Oh, sitting in the middle of the week, which is where you never want to be. It's too far from the game that was played and not close enough to the game that's about to be played. And, of course, half of the season it was in the off season, and we just had to count on a cast of characters in our listening audience that were always fantastic. They always introduced material, think piece type of material, which is, you know, what I call it, that took us in directions that you can't script. We had fun with it. We got angry with it. We laughed with it. Along the way, I said stupid things, and that made it easy for Jeff to be the star of the show.
You didn't say anything stupid, Vic.
Well, Vic, I'll say this: is, you know, you mentioned cast of characters, and you were probably mm-hmm. the largest of the characters.
As no, far, not true.
And but it is true. I mean, you take it from my perspective as a player who played a long time and had a relationship with the show and you from a player perspective and listening and all the nonsense and sometimes garbage and sometimes good stuff that was said and written about and everything else that as a player, I, for whatever reason, tried to get as much of it as I could, to now being on this side, it is about, you know, I think what makes the show entertaining and what people enjoyed and is the insight and the opinions on all sorts of different aspects of not just only football, but Jacksonville and life and the happenings around the game, sometimes controversial and sometimes fun.
Tony, look at it this way. We touched on, and Brian and Jeff, we touched on things that you're not supposed to touch on when you are in-house, so to speak. We were in-house, and we touched on things. Of course, we had to, when Tom Coughlin was fired, when he was in his final season and everybody was calling for his head.
We weren't.
Well, we weren't. I can remember saying over and over, if you think you're going to find a better offensive mind, think again. He'll have a job as soon as he's out of the game. Well, he not only had a job as soon as he was out of the game, and I can remember at one point telling Tom, giving him this bit of advice, Tom, give the game a chance to miss you, because he really wanted to get in immediately, like the next day, you know. But he not only got back real quick, hey, he's got two notches in the gun belt since then. I'm sure that all Jaguars fans would love to have those two notches in their gun belt. So let's go back and think about everybody, not just us, everybody. When we were all calling for his head, when it wasn't good enough, when the playbook was too stodgy and the play calling was too conservative. And let's go back to those days, and now let's flash forward to
Vic,
where we
let
are.
Let me ask you this, though, Vic, about that. That's a great topic. Would Tom Coughlin, and I love him and respect him as much as anybody, hated him at times when I played for him, but would he be the coach he was, that he is today, if he wouldn't have gone through the firing and the turbulation that he did? And, I mean, it changed him who he was and how he approached the game and how he coached.
I don't believe
better,
that.
Okay.
I think it made him a better coach.
I think it put him in a corner. I think it backed him into a corner in with the Giants, where they literally told him, and this is from what I understand, you got to change, and he knew it was change time or get out.
You're exactly
time.
Right.
And he changed, and it's been good for him. But you know, let's do the memory lane thing. And when I hear your voice, Tony, and since we're talking about Tom Coughlin, I want to flash back to a phone call you made to my home early on a Saturday morning, and you know the call. It was when Tom Coughlin came to your house and told you that you were going to be left unprotected for the expansion draft, and along with who else would have been, Zach Wiegert and
Gary Walker, Seth
Gary Payne. Walker, yeah, exactly. And let's go back to those days. How painful those days were for all of us. You know, these were growing pains for the organization. The next time you think that the Jaguars don't have much history, think again. Think about all the places this franchise has been. Think about that middle of the night celebration after the win in Denver. Think about gutting the franchise in 2000 in the 2002 expansion draft. Think about Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin was this team's coach. Think about the two wins in Pittsburgh in December in 2007 under Jack Del Rio. You know, it's not a team without history. It's a team now that has some history behind it. And, you know, maybe on this show we ought to talk a little bit about that.
Well, here's a question for you, Vic. How many years does it take for a community to fall in love with a football team?
If you're not winning games consistently, that's a bad answer, because nobody wins right off the bat. The answer, I think, is somewhere between 20 and 30 years, and I'm using Tampa Bay.
Because that's an honest question. I mean, I'm not saying that this community is not in love with the football. I'm talking where the community loves
I'll
the
say
team.
This, Jeff, I'll say this, right. And it's interesting because Vic was still here, And I remember calling the show and talking about it when the whole Team Teal and the blackouts were, and it was the end of the world was coming. This team was moving in the middle of the night, and everyone was convinced. And we birthed Team Teal. We had the record ticket sales and everything else. And it was a heavy lift. I mean, it was a push among a lot of people. What I've seen, though, especially since Shad has bought the team in the transition, we now see the birthing of the Bold City Brigade in several different fan groups like that that have taken the whole Team Teal effort, where that is pretty much just not – it's just step back – and they're fan-initiated. And I've seen people my age and younger.
I was going to say, aren't those younger?
They're all younger people that have started to fall in love with this franchise because it's their team.
Because
where
Vic,
in the past, it was the older generation. They were excited we were here. It was fun. We won early. But you're now seeing that younger generation that
that's what you got to have. You got to have generations to grow up with.
That's important. The Jaguars are important. Win, lose, or draw, this organization's important to them.
A few years ago, when I kind of went off on my, you know, my save the whale tangent, it wasn't because I ever felt that the team would leave Jacksonville. It's just because I felt it was time that we had to push the envelope on this thing, had to bring it to the forefront, had to get angry about it, had to have dialogue about it. We knew we weren't going to have a winning team that year. I knew we were not going to have a playoff kind of a season, a pursue a championship kind of season. We needed a focal point, and it was time to impassion people. It was time to maybe enrage people. It was time to make this a campaign. I really believed it. And of course, I ducked right out of town. But
you got to it.
Be that as it may, then the most important thing to me in the last several years when I was in Jacksonville was not the Jaguars winning, although you need winning to root the franchise, but the most important thing has been for a long time the history of professional football in Jacksonville. I want to believe that, and I have believed, but I want to be, not just believe, I want to be certain of it. I want to guarantee of it that it's there forever, because there's no doubt in my mind that in a city that beautiful, with as much going for it as Jacksonville has, which is with as many young people in it and more young people streaming in all the time, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. But you have to get from where we are to that point where it becomes just a matter of time. I can use my own perspective from my years in Pittsburgh as an example. That was a miserable franchise. A horrifically downtrodden Steelers franchise that didn't do anything for 40 years, won nothing. I think there was like one playoff win in there, and it was one of those bogus type of playoff games. So there was no success at all. And then all of a sudden, when you know the floodgates opened and championships pour in, and next thing you know, they're sold out for 40 years. The same thing can happen in Jacksonville, but you've got to weather the storm. You've got to get from where you are to that point at which success rains down on you. I'm going to tell you a little bit something about the Green Bay Packers history that I'll bet you don't know.
Can you hold that thought? Vic, hold
sure.
that thought. We've hit a break. Hold that thought. We'll come right back and get that from you when we return to Jaguars This Week on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Joe?
All right, Brian. Hey, introducing the new Jaguars Jungle section. It's sponsored by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning. The Jungle is located in the East Upper Deck. Tickets start at just $35 per game. Jungle dwellers get some really cool benefits like an exclusive Jungle t-shirt and some wild concession discounts. Need more info? Call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/jungle. The final Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, gang, free movie night is back, and it's better than ever. Doors open this Friday night at 6:30 for the 7:30 showing of Despicable Me. It's on the big screen right here at Everbank Field. Come out, see the Roar, alumni players, Jaguars D-line, and, of course, Jackson DeVille. Seating's going to be available in the south end zone and also on the field. So bring your lawn chairs, bring your blankets, bring your favorite minions. For more info, log on to Jaguars.com. Brian Sexton.
Dude, I can read this Metro PCS call-in line card, but we aren't getting anyone on the phone tonight. You know that's happening. Hey, I have more tweets for people who want to hear the phone call. Can you play it real quick?
The phone call.
Wait, but is Vic on? Vic, are you up?
No.
Vic, you're there. Okay, you knew this was coming, so just
I know what this is.
Just enjoy the moment.
Anything, whether you're right or not, it's not whether
Bill,
you're right.
Bill, it's what I said. It's not whether you're right.
Whether you're optimistic or not.
But if Bill,
you're negative all the time, Vic.
Okay, Bill. See you, buddy.
I don't care whether you're right or not. You need to show a little darn respect and a little hope, man. You got to sell some tickets here.
Okay,
don't
Bill, please. You're going to make me cry here. Your positivity is just so negative.
That's it, buddy.
One of the great all-time moments over 15 years of Jaguars this week. Vic, we still play it. We still love it.
That was not one of my highlight moments.
Oh, I don't know. Hey,
I think it was.
You know, it's Jaguars this week. You know, this is your life tonight. So we've brought back yet another one of the founders. And Matt Robinson joins us on the phone lines right now. Matt, say hi to Vic, Jeff, and Tony.
Gentlemen, how are we this evening? I got to say right away, Vic, to hear you spin your scales and form your thoughts and sentences, it brings back great memories. Great touch of nostalgia there when I heard your voice.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. A part of me wishes I was sitting right there, but you know how this game goes. The most important thing is that, for me, the most important thing is to be able every Sunday during the season to look up on that scoreboard and see the name Jacksonville or Jaguars.
And it does say that, and we've got a lot to talk to you about over the course of the next half hour. You know, Matt, real quick, your thoughts when you think back, and I know that you did today because I talked to you earlier, about
sure.
the night we started the show and the way that we started the show and what it was when we got going.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Brian. I was listening to you guys earlier. And hello, Jeff. Hello, Tony. How do you guys doing?
What's happening, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Not much. Things are good. But Brian, along the lines of what you're saying, I remember, and you described it earlier, is we decided just to go on the air and talk. You know, we were, you know, all in-house, as you said, and seeing each other on a day-to-day basis and able to talk about everything all the time. So there was no reason to do a lot of study, so to speak, and it was really more of an impromptu, and that's what I think made it a better show. You know, Tony was talking earlier, and he made a great point that there was a lot of different perspectives on the show. You know, you had players, coaches, writers, fans, you know, different personalities. But the thing I like most about it is everybody had a great opinion, but everybody could back that opinion with good, solid knowledge.
Well, that's not always the case
within the football world.
That's not always true, Matt, because Vic sometimes would pull stuff out of you know where.
I know, but that was Vic's perspective from a writer. You got to respect that. Don't have to like it.
Always respected it.
Hey, my biggest guffaw on that show came when Vic and I were arguing vehemently, and he just wouldn't listen to what I had to say, and I threw a curse word out to get his attention. Chris Sinclair fell off the stool behind the board there. It was pretty funny, but Vic and I just kept on arguing. I don't even think he noticed it. It was like we were in the hallway or in the office having the same conversation.
You know, and that really, since we've got all of the cast of characters here on this show right now, that's the thing that has made this show so much fun, is that it could get hostile and volatile and unpredictable, but at the end of the show, everyone could at least say, yeah, see you later.
Well, hey, Vic, you know, the great part about working with you is that, you know, at the very beginning there, it was kind of, I guess you could say, it was a little tense in the early days of me and you working together. And
yeah, I've had people tell me that I have that.
Vic, it wasn't your
people.
Hey, Vic.
That effect on people.
Vic, it wasn't your fault. Trust me. The first day I worked with Logs, I wanted to kill him too because he has no idea what the heck he's talking about half the time.
But Vic, I you know what? For whatever reason, Vic Ketchman, the writer, spending time with Tony Baselli, it really rubbed off on Tony, Vic, because if there's anybody that I would classify that the glass is half emptied, like I do with you, it would be Tony Baselli.
Hey, you guys have walked right into Vic's seat, and you could be known as the curmudgeon, as Vic was named early on in our radio careers together.
Hey, if I can be compared to Vic, I'm fine with that. One of the smartest football guys I know.
And you can be grouchy,
you know,
too.
I'm not trying to I'm not trying to sell sunshine here to Tony, but I have said repeatedly in my column that my two favorite interviews of all time were Joe Green and Tony DeSalle. And it's because both of them had that philosophical bent to their view of football. You know, it wasn't just I want to contribute. You know, I mean, how much of that can you take? It wasn't just about cover two. I mean, not cover two, cover three, cover eight, cover 90. I mean, that stuff just wears me out. I mean, I want somebody who can think a little deeper. You know, who can embrace the one-on-one kind of confrontational aspect of the game, and Tony was fantastic at it. Jeff was good in a pinch. I can remember going to Jeff when this team was sinking in, I think, the 97 season or 98 season, late in the season. They were sinking, and I went to Jeff, you know, for, hey, what's going on here? And he nailed it. He nailed it. I mean, Jeff wasn't Yurkovic. He wouldn't give you a story all the time, you know what I mean? But when you needed one and the time was right, he'd give you a great story. Tony, like Joe Green, could always put a philosophical spin to the game, and I always enjoyed that because it gave me great think power for what I was writing.
Well, then Vic, you would have loved covering the New York Jets, and I bring this up because I know Matt knows them very well. You would have loved covering Freeman McNeil if you wanted a deep thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason
I've heard that.
I remember I asked, and Matt, you'll totally understand this story. And I went to Freeman McNeil one time, and I said, hey, Freeman, when you're a running back, you know, what do you see? And Freeman, in his, late 60s kind of air about him, goes, you know, I see the grass blowing in the breeze. And I said, hey, Freeman, we play on turf.
Yeah, I heard he was kind of out there.
All right, we've hit bottom of the hour. We have got to break for news. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Your contribution.
Guys. See you, Matt.
All right, see you guys. Thank you very much.
That's Matt Robinson signing off. We have more when we return with Vic Ketchman here on the final. Still can't believe I'm saying the final Jaguars this week.
Hey parents, now's the time to sign your kids up for the Jaguars Kids Club. It's got its advantages. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit that's got a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, t-shirt, invites to exclusive events, and a birthday card from Jackson DeVille. For more info, just visit JaguarsKidsClub.com. Final Jaguars this week rolls on right after news here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the final Jaguars this week program. This portion of Jaguars this week is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
The very thought of you. Get that mood indigo.
You know, we should not leave. Matt Robinson mentioned Chris Sinclair, who was the original producer of this show. And we should not, it was his idea. He came up with the name all those years ago. He's moved on. He's now working at the PGA Tour. But we should point out that Chris probably wouldn't have been so sinister with the editing machine and that song, Vic. He probably would have been more respectful to you.
You better have thick skin, you know, if you're going to be on this show. No, I mean, it was... The darn show had soul. I'll tell you, everybody's soul was in it. Everybody's heart was in it. Everybody was... There was never a Wednesday that I sat in my office late in the afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock, waiting to go on the show, that I didn't look forward to the show. Every Wednesday, I always look forward to doing the show, always look forward to the callers, always look forward to the banter between us guys, always look forward to the subject matter, even when I knew the subject matter was going to be dead zone-like, as it is right now. But doggone it, that show has been... And there's no way I could tell the story of my life without telling the story of that show and without telling the story of Jacksonville and the Jaguars.
You know, there's so many memories that come flooding back. I'm going to give you the one that I just can't get away from. Do you remember in 1999 we did this show at the Mudville Grill? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're sitting there, and a caller called up and started bashing Cincinnati. They were terrible at the time. I mean, just gutting them like the fish you just showed the picture of, Logs. And Vic turned and he said, without even blinking, hey, don't get too full of yourself. You can be losing like Cincinnati just like that. And, of course, the last decade around here has not been that good. Attendance has been down. It's been a bit of a struggle. And so, you know, the one thing that this show always did was deal with any issue at any time. And really, nobody held back speaking the truth. Well, we may have said it in nicer terms, but this show always dealt with the hard topics.
You know,
and that was when this team, by the way, was at its height.
But contrary to what, how Jeff described in the last segment and described Vic as well as glass half empty guys, I like more the story of what Vic was talking about, the Pittsburgh Steelers who were awful and then turned it on one day and win multiple championships. And I think just as quick, and that's the beauty of this, of the NFL, just as quick as you could become that team
that
backed into with Cincinnati,
yeah,
you can just as quick turn around with the right draft, the right players, the right quarterback,
that's right,
the right personnel, head coach is critical, GM, and end up being a team that's contending for titles year after year.
Well, and that's the point.
I got a better story. May I tell it?
Please.
Okay. The Packers are putting the finishing touches to a south end zone expansion, glorious south end zone expansion. Terrace suites. It's magnificent. It'll take the capacity of Lambeau Field over 80,000. It's going to allow several thousand people who have been on a waiting list since the 1970s to finally get to have a season ticket to see the Packers. There is a Meet Your Seat event tomorrow at Lambeau Field where people are literally, people who have been on the waiting list for 40 years are going to be taken to their seat and tears will flow. And I am not exaggerating. That's how passionate it is here. That's how important it is. The most important real estate in Green Bay is the seat you own in Lambeau Field. All right.
And the, now, and the deer are having their own private party. That's 20,000 less people that will be in
the woods. Everywhere. I got deer. They jump over my fence. It's out of control. I got turkey. I got possum. I got a raccoon you could put a saddle on. All right. Anyhow, the guy for whom that stadium is named, the great Curly Lambeau, the founder of the franchise, a man who won how many of those 13 NFL titles? Let's see, five. He won 8 of them. I think they got 13. Lombardi won 5. McCarthy got 1. That's 6. Holmgren 7. Okay, 7 minus 6. I'm sorry. The guy who won 6 NFL titles, Curly Lambeau, tried to move this franchise to Los Angeles in 1949. He tried to put an investment group together to purchase the Packers and move them to Los Angeles because he didn't think Green Bay was a big enough market to support an NFL team. Sound familiar? He was unable to put that investment group together. He was, I guess, fired then by the Packers board of directors. Remember, this is a publicly owned company.
We know that because the reports came out about how much money the Green Bay Packers have made this past year.
$43 million net income last year. 43.1, but what the heck, the wine, I'll take it.
Clean up their books.
Anyhow, this is 1949. Curly Lambeau is gone. He tried to move the great Green Bay Packers franchise to Los Angeles. And what followed were 10 seasons of hell. Abject losing. Terrible, terrible performances, attendances that sagged into the teens. And then in 1959 came Vince Lombardi. And you know the rest. The uniforms now will never change because they're Lombardi's uniforms. The stadium will forever be full because Lombardi filled it. It took one man, one coach, one era changed everything. And if you go back and you look at the most successful teams in history, teams with huge fan bases, Packers, Steelers, even the Cowboys. I mean, you're going to see, hey, Dallas lost a team in 1952. They moved to Hershey in midseason. They moved to Hershey, Pennsylvania. They couldn't make it in Dallas, so they had to move the team to Hershey. I'm going back to what I'm saying. It's not all, you know, hearts and flowers. It's not all wins. There are going to be tough times. But you have to, what those franchises all have in common, for instance, what the Steelers and the Packers have in common, and those are reference points for me for the obvious reason that I've covered those two teams in addition to the Jaguars. What they have in common is somehow, some way, they made it from bad times to good times, and so will the Jaguars.
I agree.
Can I just add one thing there to slightly disagree? It started with one man in Vince Lombardi, but there was also Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke.
No, but it was. I what Vic's saying is
they were already there. Jack Benizzi.
Wouldn't have been done without them.
No, but it took someone to lead and put it together and put everyone on the same page.
All right, we need one final break. Vic, hang with us. We'll come back and put this show to bed. We won't do the Bob Prince version of it, but we will do a good job at it. More to come. Joe?
All right, Brian. Hey, ladies, for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's you gals 18 and older. It's the Jaguars Women's Club. This unique program is designed to connect with and provide exclusive experiences for and engage Jags female fans through updates, special offers, events, and other great benefits. Need more info? Go to jaguars.com/womensclub. Jaguars This Week rolls on here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, here we go. Final segment of the final Jaguars This Week.
And nobody better to have than the glasses half empty Vic Ketchman. I mean that literally as well.
Yeah, well, it is great to have you, Vic. You know, Matt Robinson stopped by.
Give Tony a minute to think about that.
Got Tony. And so, you know, we could not say goodbye to the show without at least inviting the person who originated the show. It was his idea. He sold to the Jaguars. He came up with the name. When we took it 2 hours, you know, he was the guy that convinced them to take the Friday show, Vic, that you and I used to go do, and move it to Wednesday. I, by the way, could never, in all the years that he and I worked together and did all those radio shows, I could never get him to speak on the air like Joe does. Never. But Chris Sinclair, the original executive producer of Jaguars Radio, who, as I mentioned, has now moved on to bigger and better things, is on the air because he wants to say hello to you. Chris, say hello as we say goodbye.
15 years? What's going on?
15 years.
What happened? It was going so well.
We ran it into the ground.
The weather meter did it.
I knew. I was waiting for the blame game to come.
The weather meter is a 7, huh? You guys better look out. What was it that? Remember that night they had the terrible storms and JTB was caving in, and what was the weather meter, a 6?
Right.
Well, it's good to be on with you guys. I appreciate it. I just actually saw a tweet from the Jacksonville Jaguars today. It said, last show ever, and I was taken aback. I couldn't believe it. It's probably, you know, one of my best memories working with you guys was doing that show every week because it was the only year-long show that we had, and when we took it 2 hours, it became a good way for us to kind of kick off after, you know, we moved the shows over and after Tom Coughlin left, and then we had the Jack Del Rio show on Tuesdays. Basically, our parting gift to the Jaguar fan was Jaguars This Week on Wednesday. And from there, you know, Thursday, Friday, we let, you know, the game preps take over, and then we didn't talk to everybody until Sunday again. So, yeah, it's amazing. 15 years of what I thought was really good radio for the Jacksonville fan. And
well, you're not calling the shots anymore, so someone else doesn't think so much, so it's off.
That's
well,
shocking.
Well, look, we're going 2 hours. We're going 2 hours Monday and 2 hours Thursday. So Jaguars Radio is not going away.
Oh, is that how it works? No.
Yeah. So this
changing the nights.
Just changing the nights. Changing it up. Prisco's going to join us on Mondays. I don't know whether you knew that, Vic. It's going to be me and Tony.
No, I heard about that. That is Pete's just. He's a fabulous radio personality, and he is really going to help the broadcasts in Jacksonville.
He just wants to throw the ball too much, though.
Yeah, I'm sure Pete and I are going to have
to. Passing game, sissy. There's no question.
Exactly.
But you know, but, wow. but wait a minute. He won. He won. Isn't that what the game has turned into?
Yeah, he's right.
It is. But I will stand and fight for the ground game, Vic, in the way the game is supposed to be played.
Good for you.
Hey, as I always say, and I tell everybody, Vic, without the five fat guys up front, you can't play the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I'm right now sad. But it's a good kind of sad. It's the kind of sad that lets you know it mattered, and that show mattered to me, and you guys mattered to me, and I want before this show ends, I want to say thanks. I will say thanks. Thank you to all of the listeners, all of the people who listened to the show for all those years and tolerated me and my accent and every opinion that I expressed that they didn't like, but they stayed with the show and they stayed with the team. And I promise you, believe me when I tell you that you're going to be rewarded someday. I'll say this in closing. If the first 5 years of this franchise's history were the last 5 years, this franchise would be on fire right now.
What do you think of the new helmets? Okay.
When the Bengals put those stripes on
the helmet. Vic, you don't even have to say any more.
No, oh, you're silenced. I wish that we...
Look how long it's lasted.
Hey, I'll say...
their identity.
Real quick. Vic, loved you when you were here. Loved listening on the radio. You got to get your butt down here so we can play some golf. Enjoy the freezing winter up here. When we're enjoying the beautiful weather of Jacksonville, Florida.
And Vic, love you, and tell Glenn I said hey.
You got it. And on behalf of all of us, Chris Sinclair, Matt Robinson, Tony Boselli, John Osher, who's not here, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, John Dineen, it has been a thrill for 15 years bringing you Jaguars This Week. We're back Thursday, August 1st, with Jaguars Thursday and a brand new era in Jaguars Radio. Thanks for listening for all those years, folks. Good night.